Hey there, English speakers, and welcome to another very special episode of the More Than English podcast. I am your host and teacher, Jesse, and it is my mission to help you, the intermediate and advanced level English speaker, take control of your English so that you can use it in real life situations, so that you can advance and speak English with complete clarity, confidence, and control, so that you can generate more income, open up more opportunities, and make a bigger impact with your career or business. And today I have another very special interview today. This interview is with a partner and a friend called Menno Tabernal. He is a multilingual person, right? He speaks 7 or 8 languages. I actually was privileged to see his Chinese progress start from basically zero, and now he's having Chinese conversations, and he actually told me that following the Eagle Method has helped him a lot in his progress. But in this interview, we talk about what language learning has to do with investing, because he is an investing expert, right? A mastermind expert. And so the principles that apply to investing, how they can apply to learning languages, growing in languages, and the benefits in a professional context that being proficient in English can bring you. So sit back, enjoy, and let's talk to Menno. So it does say that we are live. While my computer's catching up, I'm going to just welcome people to the live stream, welcome people to the podcast, this new project that I'm calling Business in English. So taking traditional business English, the concept of traditional business English, throwing that out of the window and really putting feet on what business English actually means by talking to people whose native language is not necessarily English, although you're a different case, Menno, but how real people in the real business world have achieved successes through using English in their business, in their personal lives, and how they have achieved such things, and by sharing their stories. Thank you for joining, Menno. Oh, it took a lot for us to get together today. Our computers are conspiring against us, but we got it.
Our computers have been wreaking havoc, to put it lightly.
Yes.
I have to keep an eye on my charger to see when I need to start charging my computer as well, because it's starting to show that it's getting a little bit lower. But let's get started, and we'll see when the message comes through.
Yeah, let's get started. This is not the first time we're talking like in an open forum like this, certainly not because of our masterminds that we do together. By the way, anyone who would like to, you know, who is interested, then, you know, comment below. By the way, comment live or replay below too, but tell us a little bit about your background. As I alluded to before, you were kind of at an advantageous position growing up with several languages, but take me through your basic language learning journey, because you speak, now that you've learned Chinese, that's, I guess, your 7th or 8th language.
7th or 8th. I'm also running behind on where I'm up to by this stage. But definitely there's quite a few of them. And as you mentioned, there is some advantages that I had when I was growing up, but also there were some challenges and some things that I learned along the way. So to tell very briefly, when I grew up bilingually. So my parents were Dutch, they lived in Australia. So I had both my parents speak English and Dutch to me. There's still a recording of me from before I went to school where my father would take a tape cassette, if anybody still remembers what those things are, and he would put it into the cassette tape and he would hit the record button with a big microphone and he would record me talking. And so I would speak in English, I would speak in Dutch, I would sing songs, I'd do all these different things. And there's a massive advantage to being bilingual. So it's like a software in the brain, and it allows you to be able to pick up things very, very easily language-wise. Some people are maths-oriented, and the maths just comes really easy to them. Some people are musically oriented, and maths and music just comes very easily to them. Some people are very lucky in that regard with languages. And if you're being brought up with two languages, it's very, very easy. So, for example, when I was about 7 or 8, my parents enrolled me at a what's called a TAFE, a vocational learning center, and they enrolled me in a French class. And I was already starting to get the hang of that a little bit with the adults. So I was learning together with people who were all in their 30s and 40s and 50s.
And how old were you?
I was 8.
Wow. Wow, I was expecting like 14. Like, I don't know if you had mentioned 8, but that's incredible.
So yes, so that's a really, really big advantage. But by the time I got to high school, I thought that I had a bad memory. Even though I'd learned many different languages and I'd learned different things and I'd done different things.
So can I interrupt? Because that's really interesting. What do you think caused you to believe? Because I stopped here because I think a lot of people have this sort of negative self-image when it comes to learning English, right? Like, oh, I'm sorry, like something that drives me up a wall. I can't say this enough. Stop saying I'm sorry for my poor English, right? After they're having a complete conversation with you and they might or might not even make a mistake. I'm sorry for my poor English. So that's a self-image thing. Where do you think your case started? And then maybe I wonder how many people can relate to that. Why did you have such a negative self-image? Because like you said, I mean, around memory, why did you think you had a bad memory after learning these languages, you know, doing those exercises, entering this adult class at 8? Like, there's nothing there that shows evidence of a bad memory. But what was that inside of you?
Not to the outside world, obviously, but to the inside world, it's very different. So I've studied a lot of personal development now, and I think that's very, very important to be able to understand what's going on and how to correct those kinds of self-images that we have. For me, it came from the fact that my father was a little bit violent, and I got bullied and beaten up at school. And so I started to get down on myself because I couldn't see a way to be able to get ahead at school. I couldn't find a way to get ahead with the people that I was at school with, and they didn't like the way I did things. And so I started to see the world view from my perspective as I am different to everybody else. Everybody says B, and here I am saying A. So that must mean that there's something wrong with me. So I think a lot of people go through that phase, not really a good phase to go through, but it didn't damage me, and I learned a lot from it, and I got a lot from it, and it allowed me to actually then go to the library and say, I think I've got a bad memory. What can I do to fix this? And I read every book in the memory section. There weren't that many books, actually, but anyway, I read every book on memory and every book on the brain, and I read everything that I could find that I thought was going to be able to help me. And I discovered that we don't have bad memories. We just don't understand how our brains work. And so we don't use the methods and the techniques that are available that allow us to see our true genius. Because technically speaking, we all have innate genius abilities. We just don't know that they're there. We don't know the techniques. And so we don't manage to find out how to get the best out of ourselves.
Yes. So if we can just dive right into that, since like, what are some, I guess, maybe not to overwhelm us with too many things, but like one simple thing that, because I consider myself as having a bad memory or unexercised memory. So what's one thing that we could do to I don't want to say like get a better memory, but realize our potential, realize that in ourselves.
So some of the techniques would take a little bit longer to be able to explain, but first thing is really observation and actually paying attention. And very often we will rush through things. So let's say that we're at a networking event and there are lots of people there and somebody mentions their name, but I'm a little bit nervous and I'm thinking about my pitch and I'm thinking about my spiel and I'm thinking about different other things and I'm thinking about, am I going to be able to sell something to somebody? And so because we're so preoccupied with everything else, we never take the time to actually listen to other people and find out what their names are. So we think that we have a bad memory with regards to people's names and being able to remember what people are called. But really, we're just not taking the time to stop and pay attention. And so if we slow down and just stop and pay attention and then look for a way to memorize in that moment. So let's say, for example, somebody's name is Johnson. So then I might think of a famous Johnson. I might think of Lyndon Johnson. I might think of somebody else. And I relate that back through. And it allows me to now create an image. It allows me to take the time to actually link it to something. It allows me to find something that connects it so that my brain actually has to pay attention. Because very often somebody will say, oh, my name is Johnson. Oh, nice to meet you. And you go straight into everything else. You've never paid attention to the name in the first place. And so you just need to take that little bit of time and then your brain will start to help you out. And then there are way more advanced techniques, but just stop and pay attention in the first place.
Yeah. And I was laughing because you just the inner teenage of me thought the name Johnson was funny and then created an image. And I thought the connection I made was, remember Austin Powers?
Yes.
There was an Austin Powers. Like, that looks like a huge Johnson. Like, that's the connection, right? But that's a funny example. But if I met someone, there's no way I would forget that his name is Johnson, right?
And the interesting thing is that the more ridiculous or the more controversial something is, the more your brain is going to remember it.
Right.
So, for example, if I go to work every day and I drive to work and I stand at the traffic light and then I pass a car and I do this and everything happens in exactly the same way, then my brain says, well, that's boring. There's nothing really for me that stands out that I need to remember. Yeah. And so it doesn't. But if I'm driving to work and all of a sudden a cow falls out of the sky and splatters in front of me and I drive over the top of that cow to get past it, or I have to drive around it into oncoming traffic and very quickly maneuver, now it becomes really memorable. So we can use that principle. And for example, a lot of people know exactly where they were when John F. Kennedy was killed, speaking of Lyndon Johnson. A lot of people will know exactly where they were when the Challenger disaster happened. And for the younger people, most people will know exactly where they were when 9/11 happened. Most people will know exactly where they were. I don't know, I can't think of anything more modern than that, because most of my memories of really interesting situations are from the 80s and 90s, but that's beside the point.
Well, even personal memories, like your first, you know, whatever, your first anything, the first time, first kiss, first time driving a car, first time, you know, really, I mean, pulling out onto the actual road, you know, things like that. One thing I wanted to get into, if we can, you know, kind of transition one, and I'm really curious about this. You're really into learning about systems right now in your investing, in your different Forex investing and different investments.
Language.
That's awesome. We're transitioning that to language and business, because once you learn a system, or once you learn a way, you start to see that way in all ways. That's like a Japanese philosophy, which you spent time in Japan, but that's a conversation for another day. But like they can go in my group and watch our past conversation about that. But about systems, I know this is a really complicated issue, but is there some overarching advice that you can give people who are having trouble? They feel stuck in their language learning, or feel stuck in their career, or feel stuck in their business, where a system put in place could help them move forward. Is there any sort of general advice that you could give them?
Absolutely. So there are lots of really good systems out there. When I was still at university, I remember meeting a guy who created, back on a CD-ROM back in those days, it was a system called Phase 6. And it would allow you to type in language vocabulary, and then it would test you. And if you got it correct, it wouldn't ask you that same word again for another month. But if you got it wrong, it would ask you again the next day. And then if you got it wrong again the next day, it would ask you again. And so every word that you get wrong, it would repeat more frequently. Every word that you get correct, it would repeat it less frequently because it's already something that you've memorized. So it allows you to be able to learn in a way that it's going to focus on the things that are more challenging and put less time into the things that are less challenging. I remember being in high school, and not many people will believe this, but I remember I was a perfectionist and I thought that I wasn't good. So I went to the library, I learned everything about memory, and I decided I need to be a perfectionist. And one of the things that I did was I said, okay, I'm going to take every time that I have a big holiday period, I'm going to start studying chapter one, and I want to know my subject inside out. So physics, maths, all of my study for my exams, I started with chapter one. Then when the next holidays came around, I wanted to make sure that I still used chapter one, even though chapter one was basic and very, very easy. So I again did study notes for chapter one, and maybe I got to chapter two. So in essence, while I was at high school, I never got beyond chapter three because I kept starting with chapter one. I kept starting with chapter one. And what we don't want to do is we don't want to repeat the things we already know. We want to repeat the things that we don't know so that we become proficient at that, and don't waste time on the things that we already know. So systems are all about finding more effective ways and quicker ways of doing things. And yeah, it's definitely something that I'm very interested in. And that's one example of a system that you can use in language, for example.
Okay, I love that. So repeat the things that you aren't comfortable with, kind of like the notes organizer, right? In the with the Eagle Method, the new words and the old words. You know, in language, when you're learning another language, people who follow me are learning English, you know, those words that when you hear them, you're like, ah, oh, yeah, I know that. But you don't really know it, right? You would never use it, but it sounds familiar. Right. So we need that repetition.
Comes in.
That's where what comes in?
That's where testing comes in. So you're embracing a system in order to be able to then say, okay, I actually want to see which ones I do know and which ones I don't know. Because it's one thing to just learn something and then never use it or never study it again. What you want to do is you want to be able to revise, but you want to revise in a way that's most efficient. So one of my heroes is Tim Ferriss. And Tim Ferriss talks about something called MEV. MED, which is minimum effective dose. Mm-hmm. And so he does exercise based on what is actually going to bring him results, not doing 100 curl-ups maybe, but he knows that if he does 5, then it's going to get him progress. So he doesn't have to do 100. He knows that 5 is what's going to get him to the next level. And so we can do the same with language. We can do the same with investing. We can do the same with everything. We want to find what the minimum effective dose is, so that we're getting the biggest bang for our buck, as it were.
Okay, what does that look like? I mean, because in this, like where I'd like these conversations to go for this podcast is not only language, but applying it to in make more money, to further your career. So investing is your area of expertise too, right? Or you're learning, right? I don't know if we can ever become, you know, maybe it's like a black belt, right? You can become a black belt, but then there are levels, right? So transitioning from that kind of system and then applying it to investing, what does that look like? Where's the parallel? What does that look like from language and investing? Does my question make sense?
Absolutely. So there are two things. One is that you don't have to necessarily invent the wheel. If you like a subject enough, if you enjoy language, for example, or investing or whatever it is, then you're going to start engrossing yourself into it. So first of all, you need to have an interest in things. When you start engrossing yourself into something, you start to understand, you start to see the bigger picture. So I've been doing a lot of things on the Forex market at the moment. And I've just been playing around with things, and I've been testing things and doing things. And because of my interest, I'm starting to see more patterns. I'm starting to see more correlations. And that allows me to then be able to say, ah, I've come up with something that might work as a system. So I might say, okay, I started to study chart patterns, and I can see this little pattern coming up. And every time that pattern comes up, boom, that makes sense. If I am looking at, for example, something else, I might also see a pattern and think, oh, that's something that I could test out.
So yes, I love that. Sorry. Uh-oh, somebody's blowing up.
somebody really wants to talk to me. And I can't hang up, or I can't turn off and put it on flight mode, because then I have no internet. so we just have to keep pushing them away for now. We were talking about patterns. Yes.
Yes, patterns. I love that. That's one of the key components that I teach. Like, that's what language is, essentially, is language, picking up those patterns. Yeah, so go ahead. Keep going. I love it.
So patterns is one thing, and we can find our own patterns, but we also don't have to necessarily reinvent the wheel. So we might think we found a pattern, but somebody else might have already found it, for example. Or we might think we found a pattern, but that pattern doesn't really work. So we can spend a lot of time and waste a lot of time on something that is something that we've created on our own. And once you already have some success, you can definitely play around with that. But what you really want to do is find patterns that other people have already created. So we talk about standing on the shoulders of giants. If you know people, and this brings me to one of the main points that I actually wanted to share with you all. And that is that when it comes to investing, it's all about people and understanding people. So if I have
say that again, because that, I mean, I don't know if the listeners are like me, those I've never thought about it in those terms. So say that again. Right?
So everything is people related. So whether you're in business, you're going to have suppliers, clients, you're going to have stakeholders, shareholders, et cetera, et cetera. It's all people. If you're in real estate, then you're going to have real estate agents, tenants, et cetera, different people that you're going to be dealing with. If you're looking at the stock market, you're looking at the psychology of the people who are buying and selling. And so based on when it hits a certain number, or based on what people do as a herd, as a group, as a mass, when something happens. So let's say, for example, that the interest rate figures come out and interest rates are going to go up. Now that could be seen as negative, that could be seen as positive. But if we understand the psychology of humans, if we understand the psychology of what the masses have done in the past, of why people would decide to buy or sell in that moment, then we can use that to our advantage when we can understand what might happen to the market. So let's say that interest rates go up, but there's also high inflation. Example, what's happening right now. When that happens, I know that because people see that now as a positive, because we know that inflation is going to be stopped by interest rate rises. Now we know that it's a positive, so something might go up. Whereas if interest rates go up, now it could be seen as a negative if there is no inflation and interest rates are just going up for no reason. If it's going to hurt people, if people are not going to be able to pay their mortgage, but they don't have an extra income coming in, or if their income or wages aren't going up. If their wages are going up and there is way too much inflation, then people are going to respond to that positively. Now, of course, it can also happen the opposite way around. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen one way or the other. So it's really important to understand people, and people have their patterns as well. So somebody else who is very good at investing may have discovered something very, very interesting. And they're not likely to share it with other people. And that's where people skills come in. So I have people that approach me a lot, and they'll ask me to share my secrets or to spend some time with them. And if I did that with everybody, I wouldn't have time for all the other things that I do, nor would I have time for my own investing. So you need to understand how to deal with people so that you can get into the inner circles, into the right places to be able to talk to people. Whether this is for investing, whether it is for language, whether it is something else.
Wow.
Very often we go and let's say, for example, I want to learn a language. And I remember in high school, I wanted to learn things from people. I wanted to learn how to twist my pen. I wanted to learn how to do all these different things. And I would approach people, and I was very persistent. I would keep asking them until they taught me. However, when we become adults, people aren't as relenting, and people have their lives, they have their families, they have a lot more going on, so they can't just share information. Plus, now they have financial feelings around it. So if I ask somebody, can you teach me something, they're not likely to teach me for free. They're going to want to have something in return.
Yes.
So we need to understand people. So we need to be able to understand how we can approach people, how we can give something in return to them. We need to understand the psychology of humans. The more you understand psychology, the more success you will have, not only in investing or language or whatever else it is. The more you understand people, the more you can have success because you have access to resources. So similar to us having a mastermind. By having the right people and getting them excited to be a part of it, it gives you access to resources. By having people that are in a mastermind together with you, investing-wise. But first, you need to get your foot in the door. Some people are going to not accept you in the group. If you are awkward, if you don't understand social skills, if you don't understand how people are going to react to you, best example is people who are not very wealthy, who want to learn how to create wealth, but who act in a poor way when talking to people who are wealthy. Those people are not going to be accepted into the group because they don't fit the picture. They're a threat to the group. So you need to learn.
That's an interesting way to put it. I was just thinking they're on a different vibration, which is true, but on a more primal level, on a more visceral level, like biologically, they're a threat to the group. Wow. Yeah. Yes. And we need to communicate with them.
Questions. So they're going to waste the group's time, potentially. They're going to ask questions that aren't going to benefit the rest of the group because everybody in the group already knows the answer to those questions. There are all these different things that end up happening when somebody who doesn't sit at that vibration, doesn't understand the societal norms of that group, wants to enter. But that's where the magic happens. That's where the secrets are. That's where the patterns can be found. That's where you can learn. So, for example, I was at a swimming pool not long ago, and I was in the sauna. And it's frequented by people who are quite wealthy and well-to-do. And so in the sauna, people are talking about the coal market, and they're talking about what was happening at their work and how the electricity companies are doing certain things. That kind of information can be extremely valuable for your investing. If you go to places where people speak a lot of languages, if you spend time, for example, in Sydney here, we've got a place called the Alliance Française, which is it's like an association for French-speaking things, and people can go there and they can immerse themselves in culture. So they have theater pieces and they have all these different things that allow you to, if you're a foreigner and you come from France, stay acquainted with your culture. And if you are not from that culture, you can learn about the culture and you can learn the language, and they have different things on offer for people. Yes. But to be able to get in, you need to have the currency, you need to have the understanding, you need to have that ability and those people skills to be able to do that.
Yes. And something to offer, something more than like I want conversation practice or something like I want, right? It's like, what can you offer? So like a lot of people are like, I don't have any money. Well, there are many other forms of currency. For one, one thing that I use as currency is encouraging people that have delivered content that has been transformational to me. Send them like messages in DMs. And then just, I point a finger up, and here's a trick that I do. Like I point a finger up and say, you can use that in any marketing you want, right? Send a voice message of encouragement. Like I've literally done this with powerful people that I've sent them messages, like a heartfelt message of how their content impacted me. And it brought them to tears, right? Like that's exchanging value. And then they are more likely to help you. Like, be, what can I help you on that next step, right? You know, like our mastermind, contacting and put yourself out there, right? Like, and but dude, this was awesome. And I know you have like hours and hours more to share. And I would love to sit here for hours and hours, because, you know, time, whenever we get together, it just goes like that. But I do have to go. And you have another meeting too, right?
Yes, I do, but that's okay. Yes. I always enjoy spending time with you and sharing with you and the people that follow you, because I know that the people that follow you are quality people. And I've seen that from the masterminds that we've run. And on that, very quickly, last thing I'd like to share is that you really want to surround yourself with the right people. And when you find the people that have really good systems, then you can achieve just about anything, but you need those people skills. So yes, anybody that would like to be able to improve their language in order to be able to achieve whatever it is that you want to with your language. So it doesn't matter how good you think it is or how not so good you think it is. There's always nuances that you can pick up on a language if you want to really achieve great things. I think that language is going to become more and more important, because the job market is equaling out, and it's doing so at a really fast pace. So the only way to really stand out is if you are somebody special, and people that speak languages, multiple languages especially, are going to stand out. And there are ways of improving the language that you already speak, or improving the languages that you have learned that you already speak, or even very fast methods to learning new languages. So you want to be in a group of people that you can nurture that and allow yourself to be able to grow along with it, so that you can showcase who you are. So anybody that would be interested, I would definitely recommend you have a chat to Jesse. And we run some amazing masterminds. We've had people that have achieved some unbelievable things. People who already spoke really good English, but were able to take it up a whole notch and discovered what it was able to do for their business, for their career. Do you remember we had people who had a business who were able to really take their business to a whole new level with their English? They were only doing one language, and then they doubled it and doubled their clientele because they increased the number of languages that they spoke. And somebody who also came and joined us, who was looking for a job and got a job because they spoke more fluent English, because they found a job that needed and required English. Their English was not that good, not that fluent when they first started. And using the Eagle method and being in a mastermind, they were able to take it to a whole new level. So I would love to be able to have more people come and join us and be a part of a mastermind and implement all of the things that I was sharing with you today, Jesse.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for saying that. And it was incredible. And it comes down to what you said. And I love that. I'm going to like let that marinate. And I'm probably going to mention do a story to highlight that. It's about those communication skills, not just like knowing the language, not just building your vocabulary, not just, you know, learning like having perfect grammar, but having those communication skills to be able to get what you want and to be of service to other people as well.
Actually, maybe very last thing that I'd like to share then. Yes. So for me, language has always been something that came easily. And I would very often not worry too much about the grammar, because for me, it was all about communication and being able to get the message across. But what I've realized later on, so one, it's fine. I can talk to lots of different people with very basic language and not worry too much about grammar. But if you want to achieve something on a larger scale, if you want to meet influential people in another language, if you want to meet people that are successful in America, for example, or if you want to meet people that are successful in Britain, people who are maybe higher level celebrities than the people in your country, because you want to expand, then you really need to be able to speak very good, and you want to be able to speak grammatically correct English, because people like that are going to take you more seriously. Yes. There are people I don't like judging, but there are people who judge you on your grammatical ability. So even if you speak extremely good English, but you have slight grammatical errors, there are some people, sadly,
But it's real.
And it's real. And not want to have a conversation with you and not allow you into the opportunities, not give you access to the job that you want, only because there's that slight discrepancy. And they don't do it on purpose. It's just purely subconscious. But they will judge you on your ability and your grammatical errors.
Yes. Yes. Let's leave it there. Thank you.
To surround yourself with that are going to be able to help you with a pattern, a system that allows you to be able to learn the language more quickly, more efficiently, and that's going to help you correct some of those grammatical issues that you might have in a way that it still happens quite quickly so that you can achieve the results really, really fast.
And on your end, to be self reliant as well, and not so you're not always looking for that teacher to correct your errors, because what happens if you don't find one, or what happens if they're not around? So you can be really self-corrective by yourself. All right, thank you for your time, Mano. Always a pleasure. Anyone who listened, go check this out. I've been taking show notes in the comments, so you can check out the timestamp of different things we talked about. And just real quick, Menno, if you want to comment below, just so people can get in contact with you if they have any specific investing questions or multilingual questions, then that way people can get in contact with you as well. Other than that, I assume Facebook's the best way to get in touch with you, right?
Yes, Facebook or Instagram, but I'll send you the details.
Yes.
If you can send me the link to the video so that I know where it is, and then I'll send my details.
All right. Perfect.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'll tag you in it right now.
Perfect.
Awesome. Thank you, Menno.
You're welcome. Always good to chat, and thank you for your time.
Yes.
Great to see everybody.
Awesome.